Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Zepke, and I'm going to talk a lot of travel today. We're going to be talking about Reykjavik, which is one of my favorite places. I try to get there every couple of years, and there is a lot of ground I've got to cover during today's show. And I'm going to reveal some of the best adventure activities and share some advice if you're planning to go. So let's just get started so we can get through it all. Number one on my list, when you're in Reykjavik, you've got to go see the Aurora Borealis. Now, there are a few different ways that you can go about seeing the Northern Lights, but I think the best is by snowmobile. We booked a three-hour tour that included snowmobiling up to the best vantage point to see the lights, and we also enjoyed a late-night cookout. We had bratwurst or something similar to that and hot cocoa, and we got a chance to talk with travelers from other countries that were also there braving the cold to see this phenomenon. And we were fortunate enough to see the Aurora Borealis that night, and it was incredible. And so was the snowmobile and safari to get there. And you can only see the lights from a few places in the world, including Iceland. So this is definitely something you should consider. Also, I should mention that you can only see them at certain times, which is early October to late March. But November and February are the best bets. And if you're going to be visiting in the spring or summer, though, no worries. You can still see the Northern Lights via the Aurora Reykjavik. The center features an IMAX-style time-lapse video of the Aurora Borealis, and it's really neat. It includes the myths and legends surrounding the mysterious phenomenon, and there's also a Northern Lights simulator and other cool interactive exhibits, and unlike the real thing, the Aurora Reykjavik is open year-round, so you can always see the lights. Okay, number two on my list is an ice cave tour, and this is a really cool thing to do if you're adventurous. The ice caves are found inside glaciers, and there are extensive cave systems in southeast and southwest Iceland. So you don't want to do this on your own. You definitely want to go with a tour operator there, an outfitter that specializes in this. So number three on my list, because we've got to keep moving. I've got so much good stuff to share with you today. We're going to talk about the best time to go and a bit about lodging. And the best time to go, of course, depends on what you want to do. If you want to see the Northern Lights and enjoy certain activities like snowmobiling and Christmas events, then you're going to have to go in the winter. And I should point out to you that that's my favorite time to visit Reykjavik. It's all lit up during the holidays. There's all kinds of great shopping there, so you can get all your Christmas shopping done, or just shopping for yourself. And there's all kinds of seasonal events, including Christmas markets and authentic Icelandic Christmas traditions and foods and things, and it's just a really neat experience there. But if you want to go hiking, horseback riding, exploring some of their national parks and so forth, it's best to go, obviously, during the summer. Actually, the ideal time is May to September because the days are longer during these months, so that allows you more time to explore and enjoy. Also, the campsites are all open, which they're not open other months out of the year necessarily. So if you plan to camp, you want to be sure to get a camping card. If you're not into camping, my recommendation for lodging is hostels and guest houses. They have some really good hostels and guest houses in Iceland and in the greater Reykjavik area. There are some good hotels, but unless you book a package or you score a deal, you're going to pay a lot more for a hotel than you're going to pay for a rental or a hostel. And one resource I wanted to share with you is Hey Iceland. They have 150 farmhouses, cottages, and country hotels throughout Iceland if you plan to explore beyond Reykjavik. And that is farmholidays.is. So that's something to keep in mind here. Okay, so next on my list is number four, and you can meet Rudolph. the reindeer. Or, okay, at least you can see them up close. The eastern part of Iceland is the only place you'll find reindeer in this Nordic nation. But you will see them, I promise, if you go to the right place, because there are more than 3,000 wild reindeer in little old Iceland. So this is a good thing. So if that's on your bucket list, there you go. And I think it's kind of neat. But anyway, number five, this is an absolute must. There's no point in going if you don't do this, in my opinion. Bask in the Blue Lagoon. This is probably the most famous attraction in Iceland, and as I have said, it is a must for any and all travelers. If you don't know what the Blue Lagoon is, I can't imagine why you... I don't know where you've been, but anyway, Blue Lagoon is a man-made lagoon, but the water comes from underground hot springs, and it's therapeutic because it's rich in silica, sulfur, and all these other minerals that are great for your skin. And people come from all over that have eczema and psoriasis and all kinds of skin conditions just to get into the Blue Lagoon because it is so therapeutic. But you can also enjoy spa treatments while you're there. They offer massages. You can buy Blue Lagoon skin products in their gift shop. I always leave with a tote bag full. Can't help myself. I have sensitive skin, and I love all their stuff. There's also a bar and cafe. But the thing you need to know, listen up, be sure to make your Blue Lagoon reservation in advance, as this is a hugely popular thing to do, and it does book up. You do have to have a reservation. There is a process, so be sure to do that if you're planning to go to the Blue Lagoon. And again, you have to, I don't care, young, old, man, woman, you must get in the Blue Lagoon. It's just awesome. Okay, number six on my list, this is a favorite of mine too. I'm obviously sharing my favorite tips with you. Immerse yourself in the local culture. Go to elf school or learn about Icelandic sorcery. Now, during your elf school class, you'll learn all about elves and hidden people, as well as gnomes, dwarfs, fairies, trolls, mountain spirits, and other mythical beings. And you leave the classroom after you've had a good presentation and have a good handle on things, and you head out to where elves have been spotted in hopes that you, too, will spot an elf. But even if you don't, you will get fed. They have a yummy little treat that they feed you during the day, so that's neat. And that is theelfschool.com. And I should tell you, though, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that more than 50% of Icelanders believe in elves. So don't go making any silly jokes or, you know, anything like that, because they take it quite seriously. And you can also learn a lot at the Museum of Icelandic Sorcery and Witchcraft. I like this place. It's a museum that focuses on all things magical, including spells, rituals, runes, and staves. And there are some really strange and intriguing Icelandic artifacts and exhibits. So that's almost here. By the way, just to tell you, Iceland is roughly the size of the state of Kentucky. It has a population of nearly 350,000, and most of these people live in and around the capital, Reykjavik. So, number seven on my list, Icelandic Wonders. This is a wonderful museum that's all about ghosts, elves, and northern lights. So, it's a bit of everything that's special about Iceland here. The exhibits are great, and so is their ghost maze. Really cool. And there's also a short Aurora Borealis film. And you want to be sure to visit their cafe where you can enjoy their specialty, which is warm waffles and cold beer. And that is IcelandicWonders.is. And so number eight on my list is, I can never say this, Pingvellir, P-I-N-G-V-E-L-L-I-R. It's really hard to pronounce some of the Icelandic words. But Pingvellir National Park is a really neat place. It's home to adorable Icelandic horses. Don't dare call them ponies. The Icelandic people do not like that. But they're a little small. They're adorable, but they're horses. And you'll also see lots of sheep and some other wildlife and birds. And during the summer, you can snorkel here. It's quite good for that. The park is a UNESCO World Heritage Site because of its cultural, geographical, and historical significance. And the largest lake in Iceland is just to the south of the park. So there's quite a bit there if you're outdoorsy and you're looking to really enjoy one of the special places in Iceland and near Reykjavik here. But if you're short on time and you really want to see a lot here, you could rent a car and get on Route 1, which is known as Ring Road, and do some exploring on your own. You can't get lost, as it's the national road of Iceland, and it makes a circle around the island, so eventually you will end up back where you started. In fact, this is known as the Golden Circle. But you may want to just drive part of it, because it is extensive, like over 800 miles, I think. So you may not want to drive all of it, but you can hit some highlights, such as the Skakavas Waterfall and, what I said, Pingvar National Park. And so there are several things that you can see and then turn around and come back, and that might be something. Or you can do a Golden Circle tour, and they'll take you and, you know, explain everything to you and let you out and all that. It just depends on your time and your interest. But number 9 on my tour thing, I always try to give you a choice when you're going to do a tour, because everybody has a different idea. Or you can do both if you want, but you can choose between a decadent foodie walk or a puffin tour. And so the puffin tour is a day adventure that includes a bus and boat ride over to an island where puffins are known to hang out. Now, puffins spend most of their time at sea, but Iceland is the breeding home for about 60% of the world's Atlantic puffins. So they can be seen in Iceland from, I think, around early April through August. And so if you're coming during that time, you can see the puffins. You can go to puffintours.is. If you're not coming during that time, you will not see the puffins because they'll be out at sea. But if you come at a different time, or if that's wildlife and nature is not your thing, foodies can take the Reykjavik Food Walk, and this includes 13 local delicacies that are consumed in 6 different restaurants during a 4-hour tour. So you want to be sure to bring your appetite, and you better be adventurous, because Iceland's known to have some interesting food, let's say. So this is the ReykjavikFoodWalk.com, so you can choose that. So just an FYI for you, there are porpoises and whales in the water around Iceland, which is the North Atlantic Ocean, and some more wildlife that you may see while you're there include seals, reindeer, sheep, Icelandic horses, 300 species of birds, 300 species of birds, yes, that's what I said, and the Arctic fox, which is believed to be the only indigenous animal. So I don't know when all these other animals ended up over here, who brought them or why or anything, but the Arctic fox is believed to be the only one that was actually there from get-go. Okay, so last on my list, because we are running out of time, and I wanted to give you something a little different here, is that you can partake in an adventurous spa treatment. And some of you may be saying, okay, there's nothing adventurous about a spa treatment. You get a mud bath wrap, or you get a facial, whatever. But you'd be wrong in this case. This treatment has been banned in the U.S. because it's so controversial. But there's a lot of people, I've heard about some celebrities that have done it, and Europeans, some of them are big on it. So I'm going to share it with you, and you can do it while you're there if you like. The Gara Rufa Fish. That's G-A-R-R-A. RUFA, the Gara Rufa fish, are used to eliminate dead skin off of your body. So this is something, okay, before you freak out here, it's not like piranhas eating on you. The Gara Rufa fish have no teeth, so they don't bite. To the best of my understanding, they do this kind of massage on your feet that removes the hard outer shell of skin from your feet and makes your skin softer, prettier, and healthier. This is what I've been told. I haven't done this yet. And I'm not sure I will, but, I mean, I think it's interesting. And like I said, it's supposed to be perfectly safe and, you know. But anyway, fishspa.is if you want to learn more about that. Anyway, so that's my list here. I did want to mention before we close that there are a lot of adventure activities and tours available in Reykjavik and throughout Iceland. I mean, we're talking dog sledding, helicopter tours, glacier hiking, horseback riding, quad biking, ice cave tours, whale watching, snorkeling, skiing, and just a whole bunch of more. So before you go, you can kind of think about what you might want to do and then look into booking someday things to do that. Iceland is all about health and pampering, so you'll find that they have a lot of thermal pools, and you can usually buy for like $5 or $10, you can buy a day pass, and you can go into these thermal pools. They also have a man-made geothermal beach, and they have a lot of spas in the hotels and just in standalone businesses with all kinds of treatment options. And no, not as extreme as the Gararufa fish treatment there, but and I have seen a video of this spa treatment there, and I'm sure you could go on YouTube and see one yourself, but it's an interesting thing, and like I said, the people have done it, kind of, you know, nobody has said there's been any pain or problem, and they do say they feel, their skin does feel softer that they've done it, but there's also all kinds of mainstream spa treatments that you can do, because like I said, this is something they're kind of known for in Iceland, and it probably started out because of the Blue Lagoon, and then things kind of, you know, funded off from that. So anyway, there's just so much great stuff to do there, and I've written a book, Terrence Talks Travel, The Quirky Tourist Guide to Reykjavik. It's one of my best-selling books, so I think a lot of people have that on their bucket list to go over there, and I do highly recommend that you do that there. Okay, but we're out of time today here, and as always, I'm going to tell you, you can always find information about this show and my other travel podcast on TerrenceTalksTravel.com. So if you missed anything I said or you didn't get a website address or something, you just go to TerrenceTalksTravel.com. You'll also find dozens of free travel reports that you can download from Terrence Talks Travel Emporium. And you can also sign up for my Terrence Talks Travel blog, and you will receive a free adventure guidebook and a free 50-page travel tips report. So that's all for today. I hope that I've given you enough good information to get you going here, and I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel Uber Adventure, so stay tuned.